what do we do, right? We are here. You said we're on the precipice of it going one way or another way, right? What can the people listening, what can I do? You know, what can any one person do to make a difference to help stop this?
Okay. What we need is, this is a call out to the software engineers out there. We need another Sean Fanning moment. We need another Napster moment. We need to get the people that want to fix the solution. We need to get them to be brave enough to start making solutions. Because look, guys, there's a lot of weird info going out there on what exactly the next generation social media engine needs to be. And there's all this talk about blockchain this and blockchain that and coins. When you look, it's no. Okay. As a software engineer, we want to make things simple. And everything that we need to do in order to bypass censorship is already been figured out and solved 3 decades ago,
right?
2 decades ago. It's open data, guys. That's what it's all about. Open data, RSS feeds. You know, people like content creators like you, Adam, you're not going to stop creating content. You're addicted to it. You do it for free, you know, and if you make money and you make a living out of it, then that's a bonus. And, and the reason why you're doing this right now is because there's something in you where you wake up and this is what you love. And some days you don't want to do it, but you're going to do it even when you don't, because that is how it's done. And, the thing is that if you're not going to stop creating content, then all we really need to do is we need to aggregate people like you into one centralized location. And the thing is that there's going to be some platforms like BitChute and Rumble and Brighteon that support open data standards.
And there's Odyssey is pretty good about that.
Spreaker, Odyssey.
Yeah.
They pretty much all support RSS, or their HTML is so simple that, you know, you can basically recreate an RSS stream from it by something called a web scraper.
Okay.
And the thing is that Google knows that open data is really important. In fact, despite all the censorship that they still have open data standards. One day that's going to change. And pretty soon a minority of the companies are going to have open data. And the thing is that we need to be able to take all that information and we need to aggregate it under one specific website, so that even if someone gets kicked off of YouTube and let's say they go onto BitChute, we can still be able to pull that information and re-add them to a centralized page where their voices compete in an open marketplace of ideas. And just because some tech fascist working at Google decides that they shouldn't exist on their platform, that doesn't mean that they don't have access to the public square. And I would love to tell you about how I've solved this problem, but I haven't launched the product yet that embodies this. Ooh. But
when can we expect that? So you got something, you're working on something yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to
nice.
Here's the thing. There's some features that are going to make that are really going to drive the growth of it. And I have to get those in before I launch it. I wanted to launch it with my book. And then I thought now, but the thing is that Adam, I only have one shot to launch this. It's got to be right. So I've learned how to keep secrets and I can't talk about it publicly, but I do want to talk about it if you allow me. Okay. If you don't, but I've got a page and a half talking about the thesis of what the site is. And if you allow me, I would like to read it for you.
You know what? I'm gonna do you one better. I'm gonna give you the camera. I want you to go ahead.
Okay. So, how do you defeat censorship? This is a question I get asked a lot, and I have a very easy answer. Aggregation cancels censorship. What exactly made YouTube great? Well, YouTube is two things. One, it's a video hosting platform, and two, it's a video recommendation engine. This works great when everyone can be in the same platform. But then the YouTube purge happened on October 15th, 2020, and many of the conservative content creators got banned. So where exactly did they go? Of the 155 content creators that I tracked, 75% of them were still on YouTube, while Rumble had 13% and BitChute had 11%. as of March 2021. The problem now is that conservative content is fragmented. Users now have to play the quote social media shuffle to get to each of the conservative video creators every day. This turns out to be hours of work for the highest news consumers. Most casual news consumers won't go to great lengths to find content they previously liked, which is why censorship works so well. And let's be honest, censorship actually does work really well. So why did YouTube censor content? Well, it's been my experience that conservative and anti-globalist dissent has high engagement, whether measured in clicks, likes, comments, or whatever, conservative content trends naturally. YouTube tried to tweak the recommendation engine, but failed, so they just started banning everyone. This game of whack-a-mole caused the YouTube recommendation algorithm to then over-recommend anyone left standing. This is why YouTube had to do the purge. Their AI recommendation engine was causing too many people to see conservative content and creating a mass shift in consciousness. After the YouTube purge, what did we miss the most? The answer is that we missed the recommendation engine. The alt tech platforms can't fix this because they are limited to the content on their own systems. But why does aggregation have to be tied to hosting video content? It doesn't. For example, if Scott Adams is censored on YouTube, would he stop producing videos? Of course not. He's an intellectual with a crippling social media addiction. Of course he's going to continue making videos. So a hypothetical aggregator can just switch from pulling videos from Scott Adams' YouTube account to, say, Rumble and continuing to serve his videos. And this is more than just talk, though. This is something that I'm working on right now, and soon I will launch. So in the end, I ended up right where I began, in San Francisco, working on a video platform so people like you can connect to people you like and see the videos you love. But this time, a wiser and less naive person sits at the helm, one without the ill-conceived notion that a large mega corporation has America's interest at heart. The question is, if we build our alternative platforms, how far will big tech go to try and stop us?
Wow. I'll just say, I can't wait to see what you're brewing, because it seems like you have a good, you've clearly had your, you know, your wheels working to try to help the average internet user, right? I mean, we need a protection. We need to be able to take the power away, you know, keep the power that we have, because we've given them the power, right? I mean, it's like, we all, I'm on YouTube. This is a Google platform.
I mean, we haven't given it to them. They appropriated it from us.
I could see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had this social contract where, you know, we all got on this monopolistic program, the system like YouTube and Google search, because we thought that they were going to serve us organic search results.
Right.
And instead, they've poisoned them with the highly refined search results that push their personal values, when they told us and promised us, and not just the United States. I'm finding out that Google and the social media companies did the same promises of neutrality in every single country.
Wow. And that's power. That's power right there.
And what they've done is they've decided that they're going to appropriate our entire sum of culture. And this is something that's really concerning, because, I mean, look at all the information that they're vacuuming up to put into their AI. They're searching through all the different books, scanning them in and bringing it into some giant AI. And what this AI needs is it needs a lot of data. And Google's trying to appropriate all the data that represents the total human sum of information that's ever been created. Now, the question is, who does that legacy belong to? The total sum future of humanity, or a bunch of technocrats that we didn't elect that appointed themselves as our overlords?
Yeah.
And I think that what we need to realize is that we didn't elect them. We didn't vote this in. The total sum of human content does not belong in Google's hands. It belongs in all of our hands. Yes. And you know, I think that there's going to be a reckoning, and I think that, you know, this will be known as one of the most important civil rights struggles in an era since the 1960s racial civil rights. It's basically the exact same thing, an apartheid state being created, and yep. whether we are going to put up with that or whether we're going to resist and assert the rights that don't come from the state but come from God.
Yeah, it's almost like they are trying to, and with every power of their being, make people look in other directions, make the race, you know, the race battle the more pressing issue, or climate change, or anything other than what is right in front of our face, which is them taking control over our minds, our thoughts, our freedoms. So Zach, thank you for joining me on the show. I'm not worried, because I don't feel like we said anything too crazy towards YouTube, but I don't know, maybe Google is just looking for your name. But everyone, he has a book out called Google Leaks, and this is where, I mean, you go in depth as far as, you know, what you went through it at working at Google. So I got to get me a copy of that. Maybe you could sign one for me.
Yeah. GoogleLeaksBook.com. If you want to get a preview, it's also on Amazon.
You can click, that is down below. His Twitter is down below, and also his own personal website. You can find out more about him. And then of course, GoogleLeaks.com is also in the description below. So you can click right down there and check it out.